This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. I have a very scary little episode for you. We have three true, scary, eerie stories. So sit back, relax, and listen. I'm a real estate agent based out of Springfield, Missouri, working a lot with rural properties, old farmhouses, big family homes outside city limits, that kind of thing. In this market, a listing can make or break your whole quarter. So when I got a call from an older couple wanting to sell their historic home out past the edge of town, I jumped on it. The place was about 40 minutes outside Springfield, way down a winding country road that barely showed up on GPS. The owners insisted we meet at 5:30 p.m. sharp. This was fall, so when I got there, the sun was already drooping low behind the trees. The house, though, oh my goodness, it was stunning. Three stories of perfect 1920s craftsmanship. Big wraparound porch, stained glass windows, ornate wood trim everywhere. The kind of property that would really change my career if I landed the sale. The couple was polite, but strange. They were older, both smiling the entire time in this fixed, almost too friendly way. I sat and spoke with the couple for quite a while, walking them through the next steps. By the time I was finished walking through the home, taking pictures, and jotting down notes, it was after 8 p.m. and the sun was gone. Total darkness out there. They thanked me for coming, and as I got into my car, I realized I had no service at all. I started driving back towards the main road, or at least I thought I did. I had never been out to this area before. I took what I thought was the right turn, but after 20 minutes, I realized I was completely lost. There were no other cars, no houses, just endless fields. The panic hit fast. I hate that kind of darkness. The kind where your headlights only illuminate the next 20 feet. I kept checking my phone, but still, no service. I kept driving, getting more anxious by the moment, and then I saw it. A light in the distance. Faint at first, then growing brighter. Oh, thank goodness, I thought. As I got closer, I realized it was a small town. What a relief. There, I could get directions and find my way back to the highway. I got closer and saw old buildings lined the main street, a gas station, a diner, even an old movie marquee that said, "Now showing King Kong." I thought maybe it was a historical town, one of those places that kept the old-time aesthetic for tourists. But it was a bit eerie. I didn't see one other car, or any other people for that matter. I pulled into the gas station, my hands were shaking so badly I could barely hold the wheel. The lights inside flickered, and this old bell over the door jingled when I stepped in. There was a man behind the counter wearing suspenders and a white shirt that looked yellowed with age. He was smiling, but not in a normal way. His skin looked almost too tight. He didn't blink once the entire time we talked. "Evening, miss," he said. I told him I was lost and trying to get back to the highway, but my phone had no service, and I felt like I was getting more and more turned around out there. He didn't answer right away, he just kept smiling. Then he said, "Oh, you're not far. Just keep straight through the town, take the bridge over the creek, take a left at the next stop sign, and follow the old road until you see the lights. You'll find your way." I thanked him quickly and hurried out. When I looked back through the glass door, he was still standing in the same spot, smiling at me, never once blinking. The drive out was worse, the bridge was barely more than rotted boards over a ditch, and the old road twisted through what looked like dense black forest. But after maybe 10 minutes, I saw the lights he was talking about, straight ahead, bright, the highway, civilization. From there, everything was good. My heart was still pounding, but my signal came back, and eventually, I made it home. Later that evening, spooked by the entire night, I typed in the name I'd seen painted on the gas station window, Miller's Crossing. And there was nothing. No record of it anywhere, not on Google Maps, not in any county listings, not even in archived towns. I searched the next day again from my office. Still nothing. No town called Miller's Crossing has ever existed in that county. I frequently think about that night. I don't know where I went. I don't know how a whole town could just not exist. But the more I think about it, the stranger it seems. How the town was empty and seemed to be from a different time. It was creepy, but also, the man in the gas station did help me home. I'm not sure what I would have done if I hadn't hit that town. I was so panicked and scared. But what happened that night? How did I enter a town that doesn't exist? What did we think of the first story? Well, wait until you hear our second one. My grandpa was a booming, lovable man. Big Dolly Belly loved his grandchildren. A few years back, he was diagnosed with cancer, and it didn't feel real. He was always so strong and tough, it was hard to watch him become so feeble. But he never let on how bad it was, as he never wanted his grandkids to be sad. I used to visit him a lot, and we would always watch Westerns together. They were his favorite, and I just loved spending time with him. The last month he was alive, he was very sick and wasn't making a lot of sense. But I noticed that whenever we would watch our Westerns together, he would turn to me and say, "They are coming. Make sure the windows are locked." I didn't know what he was talking about, as at his house, he never opened his windows. They always stayed locked. I asked him, "Grandpa, what do you mean?" "Don't worry, all your windows are locked. They always are." He would just look at me, as if I didn't get it, and then return to watching his movie as if nothing had happened. He said this to me on 5 separate occasions. Every time, it was the same warning. "They are coming. Make sure the windows are locked." I even mentioned it to my mom, and we thought maybe his medications were making him paranoid or something. His doctor had even said that he might be suffering from dementia. When my grandpa passed, my entire family was devastated. Fast forward 2 years later, I just moved into a new place. A small 2-bedroom condo, safe neighborhood. I had been there for about a month. One night, I was in my kitchen doing dishes before bed when my TV turned on all by itself. I heard it coming from the living room, and I recognized what the movie was before I even checked it, as I watched it many times with my grandpa. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. A classic. I was kind of spooked as the TV had turned on its own, and even stranger, it was on a channel I knew I wasn't watching the last time I had the TV on. As I stood there, I was flooded with memories of my grandpa, and instantly remembered his warning. "They are coming, make sure the windows are locked." I can't describe it, but suddenly I felt this strong urge to make sure all of my windows were closed and locked, as I admit, I had accidentally left my windows open many times, even while I slept. I love the fresh air, the breeze, and this was such a safe area. There was little to no crime. Nothing bad happened here. But on this night, something came over me. I went to every window, closed it, and locked it. Locked my front and back door too. Then sat there, watched the Western, missing my grandpa. That night, it's around 2 a.m., when I heard shuffling outside my window, whispering, then jiggling at the door handles. I heard someone at the front door and then the back. As I jumped up and began to reach for my phone to call 911, I heard a man say, "Check the windows." Then someone walked over and tried to open up my bedroom window. Thankfully, they were all locked. I was horrified and scared and on the phone with 911 within seconds, and they came very quickly. 3 men were later caught via security tape footage from my condos. They had weapons and all had priors for violent crimes and robberies. Police said they believe they were casing the place and noticed that I usually kept my windows open. I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't locked up that night. Would I even be alive? I finally understood my grandpa and what he meant, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around it all, that he warned me about an event years in the future, years after he already died. I have a very strong faith in God and heaven and believe my grandpa was given this message. All I can say is that it saved my life. And if you have older parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, listen to them. Mysterious. Very mysterious. Now, our next story. I've worked reception at a spa in my town for about 8 months. It's very peaceful, quiet, and you get used to the regulars very quickly. People do not joke around about their massages. And there was one customer in particular named Suzanne. She came in every Saturday night, 7 p.m., rain or shine, she was there. She always saw our massage therapist named Jason, every time. Usually, at work, we have to alert the massage therapists when their customer is arrived. But with Jason and Suzanne, I never even needed to call back and let him know she arrived, as he knew she would be there. So one quiet March evening, I'm sitting at reception, and as usual, Suzanne arrives. I wave to her, say good to see you, and that Jason will be right out. She said hello and sat down on one of her front couches. Suzanne had a presence. She always wore the nicest outfits. She would wear pearls and diamonds. She's very memorable. I looked over at her a few times and she was just sitting there, facing forward, smiling. Time passed and Jason wasn't coming up. I got up from the desk, turned to Suzanne and told her I'd be right back. I was going to go get Jason so they could start their massage. She peacefully nodded. I went back to the break room and Jason wasn't there. A few other massage therapists said that he left about an hour ago. This was so unlike him. He knew he had a standing appointment with her. When I got back up to the front, I noticed that Suzanne wasn't there. She was gone. I got on the phone and called Jason. We had all of the massage therapist's numbers, and he picked up on the second ring. I asked him, "Jason, where are you? Suzanne is here waiting for you. Your usual appointment." There was a brief silence, and then he said, "That's not possible." I asked him what he was talking about. He knew they had a standing appointment. He cut me off and said, "Suzanne passed away earlier this week. There's no way she's waiting for me." I looked at my computer and saw that she wasn't even on the schedule. Jason had removed all future appointments after he found out she passed. My heart sank. The rest of my shift, I sat there wondering how this happened. What was going on? The next day at work, I asked my manager to check over the security footage. I wanted to see and prove that she was there. Shockingly, the footage shows me talking to no one. No one entered in that time period. Suzanne was never there, even though I know that she was. I had seen her, spoken to her. I told Jason about the entire thing and we got to talking about it one day at work. He said he wasn't surprised, as Suzanne was one of the most loyal people he had ever known. A good friend, till the very end, and beyond. I want you to let me know which story was your favorite, which one creeped you out the most. And thank you so much for your support. It means the world to me. I've got so much more coming your way. I'll see you then.